counting down the minutes to the first pitch of today's game.
Yes!
Who's in the starting lineup?
Come on, son. You got to get out there and take the mound. It's game time.
What does the skipper have to say?
It's an attitude. You know, like, you got to be willing to defend. You got to be willing to base run, or you can't play here.
It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook with Tommy Wirtz on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome into the Leadoff Show. No, it is not Wisconsin Sports Daily. That is coming up in an hour. If you're waiting for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie Usen, that will be on at 3 o'clock today. But the Milwaukee Brewers, first pitch at 3:10 Central today from American Family Field. Brewers 61-41 going up against the Miami Marlins 48-53. It'll be the ace, Freddy Peralta, on the bump for Milwaukee, going up against Cal Quantrill of Miami. 3:10 first pitch from American Family Field. Game number 103 on the season, number one of the series. First thing we do on every show, you guys should know it by now.
Looking up, and it is gone.
It's almost time for the first pitch. Let's see who's in today's starting lineups. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Starting lineups today, we'll start with the visiting Marlins. Leading things off, it'll be Xavier Edwards at second base. Jesus Sanchez in right field will bat second. Augustin Ramirez is the DH, batting third. Kyle Stowers in the cleanup spot in left field. Otto Lopez, the shortstop, will bat fifth. Liam Hicks, the catcher, will bat sixth. Eric Wagaman at first base will bat seventh. Graham Pauly at third base, batting eighth. Dane Myers in center field rounds things out for the Marlins. Now for the Milwaukee Brewers, Bryce Turang will lead things off. He's at second base. William Contreras is catching. He'll bat second. Christian Yelich, the DH, will bat third. Jackson Churio in right field, batting cleanup today. Isaac Collins in left field will bat fifth. Andrew Vaughn at first base bats sixth. Blake Perkins in center field, batting seventh today. Caleb Durbin, the third baseman, will bat eighth. Joey Ortiz, your starting shortstop, he is batting ninth today for the crew. Well, the Milwaukee Brewers sit with the best record in baseball right now, 61-41, 20 games above 500, a half a game ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays at 61-42, and a game up in the NL Central on the Chicago Cubs, who sit at 60-42. Brewers are 12-1 in their last 13 games now. Maybe the hottest streak of Brewers baseball all season. Not even maybe. Definitely the hottest streak of Brewers baseball all season. Last game, no different. The series finale in Seattle. Quinn Priester, I got some takes on this kid.
Did you miss the last game? Did you miss what was said after the last game? It's time to rewind. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Quinn Priester up against Luis Castillo 2 days ago. Priester clean first inning. Both pitchers clean in the first inning. The second is when we saw the first scoring for Milwaukee. Isaac Collins with a single to start things off. Tyler Black, a double as well. Then Blake Perkins getting in on the action and picking up a couple of RBIs.
Perkins, left center, well hit. It is back, and it is off the top of the fence. Two runs will score. Perkins drives in a pair. It's 2-0 Milwaukee. Getting all over Castillo in the second inning.
All over Castillo in the second inning. Highlights courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. But Seattle would answer back in the bottom part of the second inning. Dominic Canzone gets a double to score Jorge Polanco. And Ben Williamson gets an infield single. It is tied up 2-2 through two. The Brewers answer back in the fourth, however, when Isaac Collins beat out an infield single. Tyler Black flying out. Then Blake Perkins striking out. Siegler gets hit by a pitch. Two-out rally, Joey Ortiz.
Liner into right, a base hit. Collins sent around third. Going to be a play at home. Here it comes, and the slide. Save! just in time. Collins got the hand down. See if Dan Wilson and the Mariners want to take a look at it. Throw was right on the money. And Seattle will not challenge.
Wow.
Beautiful slide by Isaac Collins. Next man up, Bryce Terang with an infield single.
Terang, slow roller, third base side. Going to be a tough play, and no play. Another run comes across for the Brewers on an infield single. Castillo can't believe it. This is Brewers baseball to a T here in this fourth inning.
Yeah, the nation's kind of waking up to what the Brewers are able to do and impact a game every time they swing the bat in some capacity.
Every time they swing the bat, and William Contreras keeps swinging. Next man up.
Liner, and Crawford can't come up with it. Another run scores. Terang's on his way to third. It's 5-2. Three straight two-out hits against Castillo.
I know this goes down as a hit, but they're picking on Crawford.
It was a rough day for J.P. Crawford at shortstop. Indeed, scoring not done. That's just half the runs the Brewers would pick up. In the fifth, Jackson Chourios single to lead things off. Isaac Collins singles as well. Tyler Black, have a day. Pick up an RBI single.
Black, ground ball left side. Under the glove of Crawford. That'll score Churio. 6-2 Brewers on the second hit of the day for Tyler Black.
Now Brewers 10 hits all on fastball.
Brewers were all over the fastball, all over singles as well. More to come on that later on. In the sixth inning, we saw Bryce Terang single with one out. William Contreras, another man to get a hit right after him. Two outs after Yelich would strike out. Two out rally is a key in this game. Jackson Chourios showing you why.
Lined into shallow right. It's a base hit. Terang will try and score. The throw from Canzone is late. Throw back to first. Churio's back. It's 7-2. An RBI single for Churio. Three more hits in this sixth inning.
Just continue that merry-go-round, Milwaukee. Just kept going on, kept going on. In the seventh, finally, anything other than an RBI single for the Milwaukee Brewers after another two-out rally. Tyler Black grounds out to second base. Blake Perkins strikes out swinging. That's the first two men of the inning. Anthony Siegler single, Joey Ortiz single, and then Bryce Terang finally, the two-run double.
Fly ball right center. Canzone puts his head down. It's going to be an extra base hit for Bryce Terang. Two runs will score. Put another quarter in the merry-go-round. It's 9-2. Lonely feeling for an outfielder when you know the ball's going over your head and all you do is put your head down and start running.
And then the next man up, William Contreras, he'd make it double digits.
Numbers look so clean out there. This one softly hit and it gets by Crawford. Another run will score. It's 10-2 Brewers. J.P. Crawford having a really tough day at short. Now that ball was hit pretty well with some funk on it, but Contreras picks up his third hit.
That was all in the seventh inning. Quinn Priester was still pitching as well. Gave up a leadoff walk in the seventh, then was able to work around it with no more runs coming across. His final line looks like this. He goes 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, just 2 walks for Quinn Priester. He is now 9-2 on the season. His 8th quality outing on the year that only trails Freddie Peralta, who has 9. Tobias Myers pitching the final 2 innings of the game for Milwaukee to close things out. 10-2 the final. 9-2 now on the season, Quinn Priester. Luis Castillo picks up the loss, 7-6. Now the Brewers, 20 games above 500.
The MVP of the last game for the crew. Who stood out the most? Let's find out. It's the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan.
A lot of people to point at in the game. Box score looked awesome as everyone in the starting lineup picking up a hit. The Brewers had 17 hits in the ball game. 15 of them singles. Everyone just ripping it all over the field. The doubles coming from Tyler Black and from Blake Perkins. Both their first doubles on the season. Haven't been with the team too long. But Quinn Priester, 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. He is the MVP of the game from a couple of days ago. He spoke to the media after as well. Here is Quinn Priester after picking up his 9th victory of the season.
7 ground ball outs and 6 strikeouts for you today. Do you like having that mix of just how you're pitching right now so effectively?
Yeah, I just think it's winning games. You know, it's whatever we need to do that day, you know, to put us in a position to win. And, you know, definitely bounced back after that second inning, and the bats kept going, and that was just awesome to see. And like you said, a ton of ground balls today. And I mean, Joey, Bryce, and Siegs were picking it. Tyler, you know, he did an awesome job. And once again, you know, Bill calls an awesome game. Just kind of reads everything kind of the right way and calls the right pitches.
Not as many cutters for you today, especially after those first couple innings. Was it part of the plan going in, or an adjustment you guys made as you were going along?
It's still the newest pitch, you know, I've been throwing, and we're going to have really good days, we're going to have okay days, and we're going to have bad days. And today kind of felt like one of those, like, okay days where, you know, we were throwing it, but it wasn't as good as it was in L.A., and, you know, at that point, let's not keep pressing the same button if we're not throwing strikes, if we're not getting ahead, if we're not executing with 2 strikes. You know, certainly there's a place for it. We threw it. But like I said, only I commanded it the same way it was in L.A., and that's just part of, you know, learning and going the ebbs and flows of game to game. So we read it as, you know, today was a better slider and sinker day and worked with what we had, and there's some really good curveballs in there too.
How much does that help just having that fuller arsenal to kind of feel out what's working that day, what isn't, instead of having to just lean on the same pitches all the time?
It's been the difference, in my opinion. You know, I think I don't have that one outlier pitch that is, you know, I can throw it 80% of the time. Like, I rely on the mix. I rely on changing locations and changing spots. And I think it's just the work that, you know, we've done with Hookie and Jim and Correa and everybody, you know, I think that work of making the delivery so repeatable and so simple, then it's easy to get a lot of things working, because it all kind of comes out of that same rhythm, that same timing, and I think that's what's allowed this to kind of become a lot easier for me. I'm not walking a lot of guys, I'm not getting behind, and then everything doesn't have to be perfect. So when things are perfect, you know, we're going to strike out more guys. When things aren't, we're going to get more ground balls.
Quinn, when you look at the offense, and it's 1-0 game yesterday, and then today it's 17 hits and 10 runs, what do you take away from that?
We just, you know, just get our guys back in the dugout. That's my goal. You know, let's get them back up. Let's keep everything, you know, moving. And the less they can be stagnant out there in the field, the better. And, you know, we've been on a hot streak, and it's so hard to sustain that, right? Like, that's part of why it's, you know, so hard to be in the big leagues and win games here. And so it's really difficult to sustain those types of streaks. So, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be perfect. There are games where the offense had picked pitching up and vice versa. So, you know, we knew they were going to get it done again. Just give ourselves a chance, you know, after that second inning, just keep it there. And I knew we were going to score more runs.
When you're 9-2 right now, and there's still a lot of baseball left to be played, but if you take a step back and look at your body of work since you've come here, I don't know what your expectations were when you got here, but do you feel like you had exceeded expectations? Are you doing what you thought you always could do? I mean, how do you look at your run of success here?
Really proud of it, no doubt, and certainly definitely happy with the wins and with the way the team is going, but you know, kind of like we still got a lot of baseball left, you know, and things can change really fast. So I think for me, it's just keep hammering the things we're doing, keep putting one foot in front of the other, and then kind of think about those things when it's all done. Because right now I want to, you know, there's no time to kind of take a breather and look back. Like, we just got to keep going, you know, one game after the next. So that's my mentality. Definitely proud. There's no doubt about that. But there's a lot of baseball to be played, like you said. So let's keep that, you know, foot on the gas.
There is Quinn Priester speaking to the media after the 10-2 victory over the Seattle Mariners 2 days ago. It is the leadoff show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. That is Quinn Priester, courtesy of Todd Rosiak on Twitter. And I have a take here that I think after Jacob Mizorowski, Quinn Priester might be the most exciting pitcher to watch on the team. And I really believe that. Because he has just been on fire since June. Listen to this. Since June 4th, Quinn Priester went 5 innings, gave up 1 earned run, and struck out 4, in a game against the Cincinnati Reds, in which the Brewers won 9-1. Since then, 9 starts for Quinn Priester. The Brewers are 9-0 in those games. He is 7-0 during that stretch. 51 innings of work, has struck out 54 in that time with an ERA of 2.47. You want to talk about figuring it out on the fly. Quinn Priester, since June 4th, has figured it out, and he may be the most exciting pitcher after Jacob Mizorowski in the Brewers organization. He's 24. He's going to be with the team for quite some time. I don't know if there's a better number 5 in Major League Baseball right now. Quinn Priester easily getting to that level with the Milwaukee Brewers. Pat Murphy, after the game, how did he react to the club winning now their 61st game of the season? Here is Pat Murphy after the 10-2 victory.
No, I was. The Little Woodpeckers. He gets a good pitcher. That kid's, man, that kid, I've been watching that kid for a while. About 10 years, it seems like. That kid's, you know, good pitcher. They're a good team, man. Priester, great. Great to have Tobias. It's such a big part of our deal last year, you know, and just to see him perform out that felt so good for him. Priester just continues to just, you know, again, William catching third day, night, day. You know, that's what champions do, you know, like, can't do it every time, but when it's needed. I felt like today was needed, and he did it, and got 3 knocks. So Terang, you know, responded to his golden sombrero with some hits. And yeah, we had a lot of good performances, you know. Larry had good at-bats. Ortiz, that was good. It was really good. Played good defense. That was good performance. Relentless. Kind of stayed with it. Scored in a bunch of different innings. And that's what it takes.
Matt, you guys have done such a good job, you know, as you say, responding. I don't think you've won, or I don't think you've lost back-to-back games since early June. What do you like about when, you know, you get shut out yesterday and then you come back today and you've scored 10 and everyone gets a hit today?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of the guys, man. They don't like getting shut out. They don't like the feeling of losing. You know, they don't like. You can say, well, everybody doesn't like that. They do something about it. They respond, and they're not going to always, you know, win every game. They got their own, you know, days of just getting beat, and then other days when things don't go right. And you know, there might be days when we lose more than one in a row, but these guys, you can plan on them responding. They're just, that's who, that's again, that's the who. When you put together these clubs, that's what, you know, we're conscious of, the who. And I don't mean the guess who, the band. I'm thinking of more of the who, you know.
When you come back and play again, you'll be within a week of the trade deadline. And is that like
the what? The
trade deadline.
I mean, you can't trade anybody after that?
Can't trade anybody. Used to be
able
to, but you can't anymore.
Huh.
I mean, is that on your mind as you kind of think about the composition of your club?
No, it's like, you know, you just can't let it get in there. You know, you just, I'll answer questions, I'll openly talk about different things that they're discussing, but that's their job, the front office, and they do a great job of it. And yeah, I'm just worried about this club, the group in the clubhouse right now, and what's going on with them. And I don't want them looking over their shoulder or whatever. And I just want them thinking about, hey, how can I help team win tonight? How do I help?
There is Pat Murphy speaking to the media after the game. That audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. Freddie Peralta on the bump for Milwaukee today. Things have gone very smooth for Freddie all season long. He's the major league leader in wins with 12 right now, and he has been phenomenal at American Family Field as well. He is 7-0 in 10 starts this year for the Brewers at American Family Field. Teams are hitting 196 against Freddie with a 1.53 ERA. He has probably solidified himself as an ace now for all those doubters this year, and if he hasn't done it, he's certainly done that at American Family Field, if you go to watch Freddie Peralta. Alumni Home Run Derby today after the game. Everyone's excited about that, I'm sure. It's going to feature Ryan Braun, Keon Broxton, Prince Fielder, Yovani Gallardo, Carlos Gomez, Bill Hall, Corey Hart, Casey McGee, Nigel Morgan, and Eric Thames, the two captains, Carlos Gomez and Ryan Braun. It'll be exciting to see that. It's going to be on FanDuel Sports Network after as well. So even if you aren't going to the game, you will still be able to watch it. Should be a super fun time. Everyone excited for that. Also excited to talk to Austin Herdina over at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Joins us each and every leadoff show. If you want to get any bets or action on today's game, we'll talk to him on the other side. It is the leadoff show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
At the wall, looking up, see you later!
Let's get the latest on today's odds for the game. What's the best way to go? Let's check in with our expert from the Potawatomi Sportsbook to find out. It's the leadoff show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the leadoff show. If you're looking for Wisconsin Sports Daily, don't worry. That's coming up at 3 o'clock today. We're just getting you all set for Brewers Marlins today, as first pitch scheduled for 3:10 at American Family Field. Lineup today looks like this for Milwaukee. Bryce Terang at second base will lead things off. William Contreras is catching, batting second. Christian Yelich, the DH, will bat third. Jackson Churio in right field will bat cleanup today. Isaac Collins in left bats fifth. Andrew Vaughn at first base bats sixth. Blake Perkins in center field batting seventh today. Caleb Durbin at third base batting eighth. Joey Ortiz rounds things out. He is the shortstop batting ninth. Joining the show now, as he does each and every day, even when I cannot be here, Austin Herdina can still be relied on to get you some of the best bets. If you want to get any action on Brewers games on the Fan Guest Hotline, now powered by Gruber Law's offices, it is the sportsbook manager over at Potawatomi. It is Austin Herdina. Austin, I missed you. How are we doing, my friend?
We're doing well. We're doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We're feeling better. We were a late sub relief pitcher. Had to call in the righty, Mr. Sparky. Is he even a righty? Do we know that, Charlie? Is he right-handed? I assume he is. But anyway, I am back. We are here. We got to get a parlay going for the people today. The Brewers stayed hot, even though I wasn't able to make it, Austin. So that's always good news, at least.
Absolutely. We didn't get the 12 in a row, unfortunately. No free burgers.
No.
But what happened after that? We got another win.
Right, so back at it. Yes, that's what right. They do. That's what they do. And then they're favorites again today over at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Betting odds courtesy of the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We have Brewers money line today at -225. The 1.5 run line gets you plus money at +102. And the over-under set at 8 in the game today. Austin, what are you guys liking over at your most popular bets at the Potawatomi Sportsbook to start a parlay up for the people?
All right, so we're going to go a little different today. So, yes, normally I'll pick a team to win or the spread or the total. I'm actually staying away from those today.
Okay.
And I'm only going two legs today, but I'm going a little juicy. Okay, this is what we're doing today.
I like it.
Today is the day where we got the Alumni Home Run Derby after the game. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So why not bet on a player that's current to hit a home run? If those alumni guys can hit home runs, Jackson Churio certainly can hit a home run today.
Oh, I love this. Yes.
Jackson Churio to hit a home run, and I think he might get it done in the first inning. I'm taking the Brewers to score a run in the first inning. 10 games in a row, the Brewers have not scored in the first inning. This top of our lineup is too good to not score in the first inning this many days in a row. We got to come through, and now might be the time. So Churio to hit a home run in the game, and the Brewers to score in the first inning, plus 900.
Plus 900 over at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. A Jackson Churio homer and the Brewers to score a run in inning number one. That's what the odds pay over at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. 9-1. So go ahead, throw 10 bucks, win 90. And the math from there, I don't know, public school. But that's what we'll start with from there. Austin Herdina joining us from the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Austin, what are some awesome things coming up for the people? We got a different audience in listening usually for Wisconsin Sports Daily. So tell the people, we haven't really been able to get the message across over here. What are some great things coming up over at Potawatomi they should know about? How might they get their way over there? If they want to make a reservation, how might they do that?
Oh, gosh, yeah, Potawatomi Sportsbook. I mean, this is the premier sportsbook in all of the Midwest. It is an amazing 2,000-foot screen to watch all your games on. We have a restaurant right in our sportsbook that you can get a great seat and eat some food and get some drinks. Tomorrow we got UFC fight night. It's going to be early. It's overseas, so they're going to be starting the main card at 2 p.m. So that'll be going on from 2 to 5. Tomorrow night, Brewers once again at 6 o'clock. Obviously today, right? If you're not heading to the Brewer game, come on into our sportsbook and watch the game at 3 o'clock. And then, looking ahead, we're just a week away from SummerSlam, and we're going to be showing wrestling for the first time in here. We're going to give it a try. So if you're a wrestling fan, if you want to come watch SummerSlam next Saturday and Sunday night in our sportsbook on the giant screen, you can go to Pottawatomie.com, go to sportsbook and reservations, and you can see your lists and options of tables. Choose a table. What you're doing is you're putting that money down as a deposit towards your food and drink. So you're not actually paying for the table. You're just putting it down for your food and drink deposit. We had such a heartbreaking loss with Hulk Hogan passing away yesterday. A lot of wrestling fans are mourning that loss today. But, you know, you want to come in next week and have some excitement. Come watch SummerSlam with us.
Absolutely. Austin Herdinia from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook joining the leadoff show, becoming a pro here on the radio as well. Austin's parlay again for the people, just a two leg. It could be done in inning number one if everything goes well. Brewers to score a run in inning number one, and Jackson Churiota homer pays +900 over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Austin, thank you so much for jumping on today, my friend. Have a good rest of your day, and of course, go Brewers.
Thank you. Go Brewers.
There he is, Austin Herdinia over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, joining the leadoff show as he does each and every day here. Great guy, understands the gambling game. He's really trying to help you guys win money throughout this whole process. Does a great job. We've been kind of cold. We got to get back hot. I like just the two leg. I like the juicy odds. +900, Jackson Churiota to hit a home run, and the Brewers to score a run in inning number one.
Line drive, base hit.
Let's see what the skipper has to say heading into today's game. Let's head to the coach's corner. It's the leadoff show powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Austin Herdinia jumps off the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Pat Murphy speaking to the media earlier today. Drew Wagner, who will join us in about 10 minutes, sent over what Mr. Murphy had to say in the pregame. I'll play a little bit for you. Here is the manager, Pat Murphy.
Murph is now close?
Yes. Soon.
Today will be important, I would assume.
Yes.
So just making sure, checking final boxes and all that. Okay.
Next.
Jester?
Dumb question. Next.
Okay. Yes, sir. What were the reports on Nestor?
Very good.
Looked very good,
Threw very well, came out of it clean. We're going to converge today and collaborate a decision on where he stands next.
How do you work through, what are the options to work through?
Who he replaces in the rotation, who, if that person goes into the pen, all those types of things. How he responds here in the next 2 days. You like our rotation so much.
How do you replace someone in this rotation?
This rotation, I don't know. Who knows?
Does the Miz Innings watch?
Could be affected. I didn't have you as smart as you've proven to be over these first 100-some-odd days.
How hard is it to schedule a piggyback where...
Really hard.
You want to,
it's super hard.
Yeah.
Just if you're trying to win tonight, you don't play games like that with 60-some games to go.
Is this the definition of a good problem to have, or is it stressful?
Oh, that's a good problem to have when you have pitching.
Is the piggybacking also more challenging to line up depending on the opponent? Like how, the lineup's the opponent?
The opponent, what's best for your team that day, the bullpen, the rest of the pen. And we've had a couple piggybacks where Priesters run the table. That's, I think, twice. That's unbelievable. Now, say it doesn't happen. Now you're double whammy, because now you've used your piggyback and you've used your pen. That's a little tough. So I'd say it's a good problem to have, but you don't like leaving players in limbo, so they don't know exactly what the role is and what value they have exactly for us. And this particular time. So that's the part is the player psyche that you worry about.
When Nestor's going good and he's pitched a lot in big games, how big of a acquisition could that be now moving forward? How much can that help you?
I mean, again, that's what we hope for all season. And other people had to pick him up, so now, you know, he's going to hopefully pick us up. I'm excited to have him close to ready. We got to see how he responds to this tomorrow, the next day. It's really important.
The idea is to have him done in 3 hours. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's really no reason to keep going. But we got to just convene tonight and kind of come to some type of initial game plan, and then wait for how he feels again tomorrow after catch, bullpen, whatever. Then we got to say, okay, where are we at here?
That's good.
The key to building a winner in baseball is a strong minor league system. Who are the names we should know? How did they play in their last game? Ironworkers Local 8 brings you Building a Winner. Building Milwaukee's future, one beam at a time. Apply now at IWLA.org.
There is Pat Murphy speaking to the media before today's game. Time for another Building a Winner feature presented by Ironworkers Local 8. Going to take a look around the minor leagues, starting with AAA.
Nashville Sounds.
Yeah, the story from yesterday in Nashville as the Sounds lose 2-0 to the Charlotte Knights. That is Chicago's the White Sox AAA affiliate. Nestor Cortes, however, made his fourth start to his current rehab assignment for AAA Nashville. He fanned 9 batters, allowed 1 earned run, 4 hits over 5 2/3 innings through 93 pitches. As you heard Pat Murphy there, they're going to reevaluate now, see what spot we could see Nestor Cortes take in the rotation. It seems like Mizorowski is going to be the prime suspect for that. Don't freak out too much, people. I think he could be the first guy out of the pen, and a lot of people excited to see him. But Nestor Cortes is going to come back. We'll see if he is going to be the starter in the starting rotation, however, for a period of time, or with the trade deadline coming up, if something gets moved so the Brewers can move on from that. Craig Yoho also pitched an inning with 2 strikeouts, pitching today as well for the Nashville Sounds. Chad Patrick.
Biloxi Shuckers.
Double A now, after falling in their previous game, picking up the win yesterday against Rocket City in the second game of the doubleheader. It was the Biloxi Shuckers. They are now 11-13 in the second half right now. Slow start. Luis Lara, 1-for-4 with a double in the game. Ethan Murray had a 2-for-6 day with a home run in the 2 games against Rocket City. That is the Angels double A affiliate. Murray scored the Shuckers only run in the 4th inning of game number 1. In game 2, in the 3-1 victory, Murray had his 8th home run of the year. It was a 2-run shot. Murray is batting .258, has a .388 on base percentage, .472 slugging. That's an .860 OPS. That is the 3rd best mark on the Shuckers this season, a minimum of 70 at-bats.
Wisconsin Timber Rattlers.
Timber Rattlers fall to Quad City River Bandits. That's Kansas City's High A affiliate. In the game, Jahir Arenamo, 1-for-4 with a double in the contest. Timber Rattlers right now really struggling, 7.5 games back in the West Division, 8-19 in the second half, 11 games under .500 in the second half when they were 3 games above .500 in the first half. But remember, they caught some fire once they had some of those cardiac cats come up. Maybe something similar to happen in the second half of the season.
Carolina Mudcats.
Carolina, however, they pick up a victory 2-0 over Kannapolis. That is the low A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Again, Jesus Mate, 2-for-4 with a double, 2 RBIs. Luis Lameda, 1-for-2 with a run scored as well. And Anderson Mercado made his debut for the Mudcats, picked up the save in the 2-0 victory over Kannapolis on Thursday. It's his 2nd professional save so far. He was with the Complex League, where he picked one up back in May. The lefty was promoted to Carolina on July 22nd, had 55 strikeouts and 46 innings of work in the Complex League, even won Pitcher of the Week back in June in the Complex League as well. Carolina 54-35, 19 games above .500, currently in first place by 3 games in the second half standings. They have won 7 in a row. actually pretty interesting.
Arizona Complex League Brewers.
If you didn't know this, the Complex League season is over. That is it. It is done. They finished 30-30 during that stretch. Dominican Summer League still going on. However, Blue Team fell 14-13 against the Cleveland Mendoza team. Blue is now 20-16, while the Gold team is 17-20 after they lost to the Cleveland Goril team during that stretch. Looking at an updated list, however, here, Marco Dinges now into the top 10 prospects per MLB Pipeline. He is number 10. The catcher has had a phenomenal season with low A and high A this season, been moving up quite some ranks now. Braylon Payne at 9, Luke Adams at 8, Bishop Letson at 7, then the top 6, all for the Brewers in the top 100. Jesus Mate at 8, Jacob Mizorowski at 19, Luis Pena at 34, Cooper Pratt at 39, Jefferson Cuero at 67, and Logan Henderson at number 82. This Building a Winner feature presented by Ironworkers Local 8, building Milwaukee's future one beam at a time. Coming up, we're going to talk to Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports. We'll get some of the inside information from Mr. Wagner as we get you guys all caught up for Brewers Marlins, set to have first pitch just about a half hour from now at 3:10. It is the leadoff show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on the Leadoff Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign your kids up now for July open tryouts at focusbaseball.com, ages 6 to 17.
Welcome back to the Leadoff Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Before we get over to Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports, let me run down the Milwaukee Brewers lineup one last time for you guys here today. Bryce Turang leads things off. He's at second base. William Contreras is catching. He will bat second. Christian Yelich, the DH, will bat third. Jackson Churio in right field bats fourth today. Isaac Collins in left field batting fifth. Andrew Vaughn at first base will bat sixth. Blake Perkins is in center field batting seventh. Caleb Durbin, the third baseman, batting eighth. Joey Ortiz will bat ninth, rounds things out for the crew. Joining the show now, as he does each and every day on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law Offices. Follow his work at Forbes Sports and at The Fan Milwaukee. You can follow him on Twitter at by Andrew Wagner. It is Drew Wagner joining the leadoff show. Mr. Wagner, I want to get right into the questions here. Did you have any time to catch up with any of these alumni today that are in the stadium? And if so, who have you caught up with and how does everyone sound over there?
I got to see Yo. Yo was in their pregame. Guitarist was in their pregame, which was really weird because I'm not used to seeing him without Randy Wolf glued to his hip.
Yes.
Who else is in there? Gomi was in there. Man, it's always great to see him. Still one of my all-time favorites to come through. I think I said Moose. So a lot of those guys were out in the parking lot talking to fans and stuff like that. I was hoping to get a chance to run to Niger. Did not see him. Shot me a message and said, later, boy. So I know we'll catch up. There's some good dudes back here today. Like, it brings back a lot of memories from covering this team and just remembering what that run was like in 2008. You know, not just CC, but as someone that grew up here and went to games when the Brewers were the worst of the worst, and that group coming up together and kind of getting the monkey off their back and getting into the playoffs. And it's so weird to think now that playoffs are an annual expectation and not just an annual goal. And it wasn't that long ago, you know, it's not even been 20 years since that 2018.
Yeah.
Times are different, man. And a lot of the guys that are here today were the ones that kind of turned the tide of this franchise and started to lay the groundwork for the success we've seen today.
Yeah, and it's been nothing but success, really, for the Brewers since then. It feels like a good way to put it. It's now just, instead of an annual goal, an expectation for the postseason. Real quick, last question about it then. You still rocking with Yo for the post-game home run derby?
He looks pretty good. I'll say that. But, you know, from what I've heard, Ron's been working out nonstop. Oh, yeah, I also saw Eric Thames. Dude looks absolutely shredded.
Gosh,
so
yeah, that does not surprise
holy
me.
Holy man, yeah, he's been working out pretty hard, too. I think he's going to put on a pretty good show. Hey, one other thing I want to say about this place, though, you know, we're celebrating 25 years in this ballpark, and the argument was that they needed the stadium to become competitive and this and that. Granted, there hasn't been a World Series and there haven't been deep runs. But you look at the last 25 years of this franchise and think about how badly it started their first or second year in this ballpark. 2002 was the year they lost 106 games. You look at everything that's happened since. It's safe to say this investment has paid off big time. It kept the Brewers in Milwaukee. It ushered in a competitive era and led to a new owner. And none of it would be possible had a very brave elected official named George Petak not change his vote late at night in, what was that, 1990-something. So thank you, George Petak, and here we are.
Yeah, American Family Field, one of the more beautiful fields in the MLB. Drew Wagner joining us here. Follow him on Twitter, @ByAndrewWagner. Drew, one question about the last game, since we can talk about it. It's Quinn Priester's dominance right now. And, Drew, I want you to either talk me down from the ledge or be there with me. I think he's the second most exciting pitcher on this team for me, behind Jacob Mizorowski. Since June 4th, the team is 9-0 in his starts. He's 7-0 during that, or 9-0 in his appearances, obviously. And he's got three quality outings in a row now here. It seems like we talk about this every time he pitches, but Quinn Priester continuing to be excellent and continuing to showcase why he belongs in this rotation, even if there's going to be a new arm added soon with Nestor Cortez.
Well, you know how much I like to drop deuces in people's Cheerios.
Yes.
I can't, because I think I begrudgingly agree with you, Zani. The guy has been fantastic. He's been fun to watch. He has so many different ways to get somebody out, and he's learning new ways every time he takes the mound. He's easily got to be one of the most exciting young pitchers that the Brewers have had in a long time. He doesn't have the dominant stuff like Corbin Burns had, but he's got really good stuff, and he's got a lot of it, and he's learning how to use it. I agree with you. Right now, he's probably the second most exciting pitcher, and he kind of gets to toil outside of the spotlight because Miz is going to take so much of the attention. It's fun to watch. Like, this dude's an ace in the making.
It feels like it, and it may be the best number five or four pitcher in all of baseball right now, just continuing to go out there and shove every time he's out there. Speaking of that, Freddie Peralta at home this year, Drew, has been lights out. He is 7-0 with a 1.53 ERA, and he takes the ball today. Why do you think Freddie's had so much more success at home than he has on the road this year? He has 11 starts on the road, and he has a 4.19 ERA, and he's got 10 starts at home and has a 7-0 record with a 1.53 ERA. Is it really that drastic for a pitcher to find that rhythm, whether they're pitching at home versus on the road this season?
You know, I don't know how to make sense of that. It's something that we've seen in the past. Remember, Zach Greinke was virtually unhittable in Milwaukee during his time here and after. I understand it from a hitter perspective. You know, you're seeing, you know, the backdrop, you know, the angles and all that stuff. I've never been able to understand why pitchers would have more success at home. Is it because they know the mound? Is it because, I don't know what it is. It kind of defies expectation. It's an impressive number to be sure, but I really don't get how it works.
Jackson Churio on a hit streak right now. Drew Wagner joining the leadoff show. Follow him on Twitter @ByAndrewWagner. That hit streak at 17 games right now, Drew. He's batting .373 over that time. He just picked up another hit today because they officially changed his score from the Seattle game as well. Churio, we talked about how adaptable he's been and really how that's just one of his better qualities that people don't talk to enough. But how much more comfortable do you think he can be in a corner outfield position, and he can have that comfortability at the plate because Blake Perkins now returns back to the lineup too over this stretch for the Brewers?
Maybe there's a little bit to that. You know, you're not thinking about it as much when you're trying to learn a new position. It's probably a little less taxing on the legs being in a corner spot. So those are things that could have something to do with it. I think, you know, what's most impressive is he isn't trying to do too much. You know, we can look at those numbers and say, this is great, but admittedly, you're expecting more slug out of Jackson Chourio. You're expecting some more power out of Jackson Chourio. I think it'll come. I think they're just not pitching him in a way where he can do that kind of damage. And I think it's a sign of his growing maturity that he's not trying to do too much. He's taking what's given to him and working with that. That, more than anything, is the most impressive thing about him right now.
Drew, we have a three-game series for the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend, and then it'll be the Chicago Cubs against Milwaukee, two of the best records in baseball. How do the Brewers avoid looking ahead past this series, because everyone looking forward to Chicago come Monday?
I think it comes down to a simple fact of the Cubs series is going to matter less if they take their eyes off what's in front of them and get caught with their guard let down in these three games. Because if you're not paying attention, you can easily get smoked by a lesser team. And that just digs you into a big hole. And then all of a sudden that series isn't as meaningful, isn't as tight. They've been pretty good with that. You know, we talked about that Washington series being a potential of a letdown game. And it wasn't. They played very well in that series. I think they know the approach they need going into each and every game. They know what the standings are. They know what the Cubs are going to do this weekend. They know where the Cubs are at. They know what's at stake. And they know that if they want this to still be a one-game lead or one-game deficit come Monday, they have to take care of business tonight. They have to take care of business tomorrow. They have to take care of business Sunday and worry about Monday when Monday comes.
Brewers 61-41, best record in baseball, 12-1 over their last 13, 10-1 over their last 11 at home. Freddy Peralta has won his last seven starts, looking to become the first Brewer to get to eight since Cal Eldred. Hey, we mentioned Cal Eldred quite a lot on this show, it feels like, Drew. Why is he not talked about enough?
I have said that many times. I tweeted this out a couple weeks ago because we talk an awful lot about the absolutely incredible second half that CC Sabathia had in 2008. And I ran some numbers. It's a Twitter string probably 2-3 weeks ago, comparing Cal Eldred's 1992 second half with CC Sabathia's 2008 second half. And the differences were minuscule. The biggest difference, of course, was the Brewers finished two games out of the division title in 1992, and the Brewers made the playoffs in 2008. But both of those guys carried the team on their backs and just put up incredible numbers. It was fascinating when I went down and really did the deep dive into it.
Drew Wagner, thank you so much for jumping on today. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter @ByAndrewWagner. We'll talk again tomorrow. 5 o'clock start. 6 o'clock start. So how about 5:40? That work for you, my friend?
Works for me. We'll talk to you then.
All right. There he is, Drew Wagner, jumping off on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
How does the Crew win today's game? Who needs to step up? Let's find out with the keys to the game. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Keys to the game, how we wrap up every Leadoff Show. And another interesting note here, Christian Yelich is going for a 30-game on-base streak, currently at 29 for the Milwaukee Brewers. 325 during that stretch, 6 homers. Would love to see that continue for the Milwaukee Brewers today. And just keep your eyes on the prize today, because Drew put it very nicely. Series against Chicago won't matter as much. They don't take care of business in this series against the Miami Marlins. That's going to do it for us here on the Leadoff Show, Wisconsin Sports Daily, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer coming up next. Make sure you guys stay on the dial. Make sure you guys go check out the YouTube as well. It is youtube.com/@TheFanMilwaukee. Make sure you guys keep that at symbol in there. But we are out of time today on the Leadoff Show. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 o'clock, for the 6:10 first pitch. Jose Quintana going up against Jansen Junk. Live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Don't forget, send them home.